plodding, and we're not going to plod through Proverbs. We're going to just reflect on the wisdom that God gives us. It is a collection of these teachings that are primarily from Solomon, and we need to understand that the Lord is the one who's provided us these truths. He's the source of true wisdom. And through most of the chapters, Solomon, who sought God's wisdom even before he became king, right? And what did he do when the Lord asked him for whatever he wanted? He said, "Give me wisdom to rule these people." Did he think being king was an easy job? No. Out of all the things that he had, he asked God for wisdom. And of course, God gave him far more than that. What were some of the other benefits that God gave to Solomon besides the wisdom? Riches. He had more riches than any other king of Israel. And how did that work out for the nation? It helped the Egyptians, because eventually they came in and conquered the land and took all the riches. So that didn't last very long, but God still blessed him with far above what he asked for. What else did God give Solomon? There wasn't any foe nearby that wanted to touch messing with Israel and the God who blessed Solomon so much. Kind of the key verse as we begin is found in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. You likely have it already memorized. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. All the way through the book of Proverbs, we're going to be finding that to be reality. And since most of us have lived a good portion of our life already, how else have we gained wisdom? From the hard knocks of life sometimes? But what if we would have avoided some of those hard knocks? If we would have paid attention to what our parents told us maybe, or things that we've learned from Scripture, it would have been much less turmoil. But it all has to do with God growing our faith. What I would like to do is mostly emphasize again the benefits rather than so many of the problems. We could focus on the problems and how to avoid those pitfalls and dangers that Proverbs is warning us about, that God is warning us about. But as I've gone through Proverbs and listened to others teach, if we can depict that there are four basic kinds of people that the Proverbs tells us about. It does tell us about people who are wise, people who are listening to God and understanding God's word and making it practical in their life. But it also tells about fools. And there's a lot of instruction on the foolish and those that do foolish things. There's also a set of people that you would call simple. Now, do you have an understanding of the kind of person that a simple person is? Just somebody who hasn't learned. And we think mostly of children where they're learning. But there's a lot of simple-minded people. They're unable to think about complicated things and to work through difficult challenges and problems. They could be young, they could be the unlearned, and they could just be a novice. Maybe they're not even that concerned about it. And then the category that is tied mostly to the fool is there are those who are wicked and unjust. As you go through and think about those four types of persons that these verses are directed to, I think it gives us a pretty good understanding as to why these books are so important. The topics in Proverbs switch very quickly. There are many verses that have a good and a bad, and a good and a bad, and just verse after verse of this is good, this is bad, this is bad, this is good, and it just keeps going. So don't let that cause your mind to have a blowout. Find principles that maybe you're good at and praise the Lord for those. And maybe you'll find some principles or verses that say, you know, Lord, help me. And much like we did with Psalms, I just want to quickly go through the chapters, whether it takes 1, 2, or 3 weeks. I kind of don't imagine I'm going to get through all my notes in 1 week. But I'm thinking maybe 2 weeks we'll go through Proverbs. And we're on our journey through the books of poetry, so that still leaves Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, which are not very long. But there are truths that I want to discuss with those. Are there any ideas about why Proverbs is important to you that you could share? Be a blessing. Why is Proverbs important to you? Wisdom. Excellent answer. Mark? Really? But how many of those good and bad things that even unsaved people have learned from the Scripture? They might not understand that it's from the Scripture, but these Proverbs are there to guide us. And even if you're not familiar with the Bible, you probably say some of these verses and you let them be a part of your life. And what did God say would happen if even an unsaved person obeys the Scripture? He would provide a blessing for that. So, the entire world has some of this wisdom in us already. The first 7 chapters of Proverbs are all directed at a son. Well, so this is only for men and guys, right? Boys? No, Irene, no. A son could be a child. A person who needs to gain the wisdom. But specifically, the first 7 verses are there. Now, as we get into chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 kind of give some goals, I think, for why the Proverbs is given to us. And I wrote down 4 goals. The first 5 verses, to know wisdom and instruction. Then it says, to perceive understanding. Then it says, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And then a 4th goal, to give subtlety to the simple. Yeah? Okay. That especially becomes true in chapter 8. You'll find out. The pronoun she is referred to very often, meaning what wisdom is. So there are personal connections that we should get. But the overall group, I like what verse 5 says, A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. If we would let that verse really sink in, just be wise. You want to hear, and then you want to learn, and then you want to attain. You want to make it practical in your life. And that's some of the steps we try to do here in Sunday school class. It's a more informal instruction time. Verses 8 and 9 give us the wisdom of listening to our parents and learning from our parents. And none of us have had the same parents physically. Our backgrounds come from different nationalities. And yet, we all need to learn from this God that loves and cares for us. Verses 10 through 19, it talks about staying away from the involvement of sinners. And that's a very brief summary of those verses. Verses 20 through 32, wisdom will call us. Now, how are we going to hear the call of wisdom? What is the method? Okay, learning from the scripture. But how does that message connect with our soul? We're going to have the thoughts that God wants us to have. And if we use those thoughts in the verses of scripture, we're going to be far superior in our wisdom. It will help us and guide our choices and decisions when we let the principles fill our mind. And if we will refuse to hear those principles, there will be consequences to pay. I like verse 33, especially if you'd like to follow along with me as I read. It's the ending verse of chapter 1. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I have a question. How upset are you about the virus? If you have a confidence in God, yes, there is concern. But it shouldn't be so fearful that you just lock down like so many people in the world seem to think that's the solution. No, do what we can to be safe, but don't let it keep you from doing everything God wants you to do. Very important. Chapter 2, the first almost half of it, verses 1 through 12, gives some if-then statements. Now, in my science teaching and in my math teaching, if-then statements are very true. If 1 plus 1 equals 3, then, am I goofy? I had a math teacher use two advanced math classes in high school and write everything out on the board, and he proved to the class that 1 plus 1 equals 3. I could not tell you how he did it, but he seemed to be using all logical steps of mathematics. But we don't accept that to be true, do we? Because if you add one finger on this hand and one finger on that hand, you're going to have two fingers. Well, these if-then statements do have good practical in our lives. It takes an act of faith in order to make the if-then statement useful. And the benefits are wonderful. Verses 13 through 17, I noticed that there was a shift to the benefits of gaining wisdom. Those verses in particular refer to wisdom as in the feminine, the she. And Those are referring to the wisdom that God wants us to be able to gain. In verses 19 and 20, Scripture explains how wisdom directed from the Lord is an aid in creation. On Saturday mornings, if and when I'm in the car and there's a creation moment segment that an organization in California puts out, and it gives specific traits about creatures or about plants. And the one that's sticking to my mind most recently is we have a little sensory organ called the hypothalamus. Hypothalamus is at the very base of our brain. And it has one of the functions it does is to control our body temperature. And how the hypothalamus is able to detect temperature changes of 0.1 degree. And if our blood temperature, which is what it uses to sense, gets 0.1 degree cooler, it sends a signal to the pores in our body to start opening up and cooling us down. And then, of course, if we fail to abide by that, and our body starts getting too hot because we're working or exercising, and we start perspiring, that's the hypothalamus's detection of our body temperature. And how each individual organ that God has put in us is there to do the job that God needs it to do. So, just thinking about the details of creation, I was reminded of that from verses 19 and 20. I'd like to read verses 21 through 26 completely, because here is a whole bunch of benefits that wisdom has for us. Am I in chapter 3, right? 21 through 26. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And it is definitely going to come. Verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And if that doesn't restore some confidence in the God that we say we're trusting for our salvation, find a way to let it restore your soul. Verses 27 through 35 is a whole bunch of warnings of the consequences of not following God's divine guidance. Chapter 4, I broke it down into several sections, verses 1 through 4. The importance of listening to our dads and our moms and the training they attempted to do in our life. Having Thanksgiving, there are certain things that I remember us always celebrating. And now it's part of my Thanksgiving tradition. But if those are some of the only things your parents have allowed, that you have allowed of your parents' teachings or some of their holiday traditions, you've missed out on a whole bunch. No, there have to be many more benefits to the parents that God gave us, because he didn't make a mistake. He didn't put us in the wrong family. He didn't let us suffer things that he didn't want us to understand. Those have all been building blocks to make us the people that we are. And then when we can direct God's teachings in addition to our parents, we'll have a much more pleasant life. Verses 5 through 9, it talks about getting wisdom, and it should be the primary accomplishment that every person has, because it's going to affect everything we do. The definition between wisdom and knowledge. Do you know the distinction between wisdom and knowledge? Knowledge is you can learn stuff. Wisdom is using what you've learned to benefit yourself and those around you, to benefit the Lord especially. But verses 5 through 9 can be some guide there. 10 through 27 has a list of instructions. Somebody said that the Ten Commandments are not really sufficient for us in order to have a successful relationship with God. Well, if you want a more specific list of things to do, go through that section of Proverbs chapter 4. I'd like us to read, though, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that's a pretty good summary. Chapter 5. The wisdom of God, when heeded, will provide us to have a proper discretion for spiritual and sexual choices. Verses 3 through 6 give warnings about strange women. Verses 18 through 20 are blessings of a godly relationship. And I'd like to read a portion of verse 21. For the eyes of man are before the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And the he there, of course, is our Heavenly Father. And the his is us. Sometimes the pronouns need to be explained. Chapter 6. Here the first five verses are advice and warnings for making promises to strangers. Now, I didn't list strangers as one of the four main persons, but strangers in our thinking refers to people who don't believe in God, people who are not saved. Verses 6 through 11, examples of wisdom from the ant. Have you ever heard the wisdom from the ant? What does the ant do? Pardon? Works. Works doing what? Preparing for winter. And then it talks about the sluggard. What do we know about sluggard? Slides through life doing next to nothing. Laziness. So, that's a comparison in that section. Verse 12 to 15 talks about a naughty person, and here are some of the things it says. They're going to be destitute, without profit, worthless, wicked, evil, ungodly. Does that sound like something you will strive for? To be a naughty person when you know Scripture describes him like that? It warns about use of a froward mouth. That's not a word we usually run across anymore, froward. So when I looked up the meaning of the original language, talks about perversity or crooked mouth. So occasionally I will throw in a warning. I'd like to read verses 16 through 19 because this is a pretty complete list of some things the Lord hates. Verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Why does the Lord say he hates six things and then he gives a list of seven? I can't explain why God does that. But seven is a number that's related to completion, so. But if you look at number two, the second thing, a lying tongue, and number six, a false witness, you see how closely those two are tied together? But he did distinguish them separately in his list. Verses 20 to 23, the importance of following our father's commandment and our mother's law. We've only gone through the first six chapters, and how many times has God reminded us to obey our parents? Why do we need so many reminders, do you think? Because we do. Verses 24 through 35 wants us to avoid a whorish woman and adultery. And there's a whole bunch of consequences that the scripture teaches of what will happen if we fail to follow that advice. On to chapter 7. Here is the final wisdom that is directed to sons. The Proverbs use some imperatives. Now that's the English term for a command. To stress the importance of the upcoming women, the upcoming wisdom, and he uses some key verbs. He'll use the word keep. He'll use the word lay up. He'll use the verb bind. Now, if you understand that those are all things that stress the importance of following what God says. All of this can help us avoid immoral relations, especially with what the Bible calls strange women. Chapter 8. Wisdom is portrayed in a very positive way, and it focuses on the personal pronouns that Leo already mentioned a little bit ago. But as you go through, you'll find the pronoun she, you'll find the pronoun I, you'll find the pronoun me, you'll find the pronoun mind. And if you would stop and read through chapter 8 slowly and put the word wisdom in for almost every one of those pronouns, it is all applicable. I want to look at verses 22 through 31 in specific. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So where did wisdom come into the picture? Before God ever made the universe, we have an eternal God, and he had all the wisdom he needed. Verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set the compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. So that is pretty evident. Wisdom was before the creation of the world. And that's a really good reminder. In chapter 9, there's a special appreciation for the personalness, the personality of wisdom, if you will, and how it applies to us. It directs the lives of the simple, those who are unlearned. And that can include adults who have not learned the truths of the scripture yet. Verse 6 especially says, go in the way of understanding. Verses 7 through 12 describe instances where wisdom will help us not to make foolish choices. And a part of verse 11 says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied. God gives a blessing of a long life to whom? Where's another scripture that God says, if you do something, you'll have longer life? Excellent. Honoring parents, father and mother. Pardon? But honoring is obeying them with the right attitude. That's the difference between obedience and honoring, is what I always tell the students. But our days can be multiplied. Verses 13 through 18, they instruct us about the foolish woman again. The warning is very clear. And again, this is about the fourth time we've been directed to think about that. If more in the world would, their lives would be so different. So that gets us through kind of the beginning part of Proverbs. Very rapid fire. Do you have any thoughts you would like to share? Because chapters 10 through 19 is a kind of a long discourse on good versus evil, right versus wrong. Any ideas come to your mind you want to share, Leo? Okay. Of course. As novices, it's our responsibility to help them. That's excellent. Any other thoughts come to mind as we were going through some of these?